they were just clowning Sean Marks and his decisions. They're like, you know, they're like, I'm an ideas man. Here's an idea. Like, let's bring in Steve Nash. No, the guys don't like him. Let's fire Steve Nash. Let's bring back Jacques Vaughn. No, let's trade these guys. Let's trade for Ben Simmons. Oh, like, it's a mess, dude. They don't really have any direction, and it is what it is. All right, I've said enough. Go for it, Spen. Add your two cents.
I mean, I think about that press conference that Sean Marks did right after he let Jacques Vaughn go and the way he talked about the Nets. He talks about the Brooklyn Nets as if we are in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. Guys want to come here. My phone's ringing off the hook. I got agents. I got players. I don't understand. Like, does he think we've had success here in the last few years? Even when we had the Stars, the best we've done is the second round. And I don't put that on the Stars. And yeah, Kyrie Irving's availability, you can go back and forth with that. But I put that on the GM. The GM is supposed to build a roster that goes to the championship, and we have not sniffed that. So it didn't work out with the big three. You pivot, and you try to get everyone in Nets world to believe that we're still going to be a competitive team in the East with this core group of Mikhail, of Cam Johnson, Nick Claxton. Cam Thomas is up and coming. He's still a young player. He's still 22. But the way Marks talks about our organization and this franchise, he just acts like we're so on top of and we're so much better than everybody else. And Keith, you said it, we're a bottom three team in the NBA. So I don't understand the pompousness and just the overconfidence that we're going to figure it out in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at the record. We have 26 wins. And I remember the last time we had a losing record was the 17-18 season. And that season was a much, much worse roster than this roster, which just goes to show you that this team does not fight as much as it used to when Kenny Atkinson was here. I mean, I don't know if it's like down to the coach fully or where we were in 17-18. But
that seems like it was 10 years ago. You know?
Yeah, I mean, D'Angelo Russell was out for half the season. Jeremy Lin got hurt in the first game of the season. So that's our entire backcourt. Then we brought up Spencer Dinwiddie. No one knew who he was at the time. Alan Crabb was playing. Like, that was a guy I just, like, despised because of his contract. But, yeah, I mean, I can go on. Quincy Acey. Like, don't even get me started. but, like, those are the players that was associated with this team and had zero expectations. And now this team, which with much better players, like, this team is literally just full of role players. I think I've said that before, where it's just not good enough. Too much reliance on players that are not available enough. And it's just a culmination of sort of like a little bit of everything. And I said it last episode where you just need that little bit of luck. And we actually had that in the first third of the season where we had a winning record. We're 13-10, 14-10, something like that. Our offense was like clicking, you know, we were hitting our shots, but now, I mean, Mikal Bridges, I mean, his trade value is going down each and every week, honestly. The more I feel like, I just feel like Nick Claxton's now gonna, I'm more edging towards if he's gonna leave or not. More like, I thought it was gonna be like, oh yeah, he's 95% sure he was gonna stay. Now I'm sort of like 50-50. I don't know yet. Cam Thomas, is he gonna get traded for that? It's just like a lot of too many, like you said it, Keith, like Sean question marks, too many questions to be answered during the offseason, which direction we're gonna go, which players are gonna stay, etc. So it's just, we're just waiting till the offseason now.
Like, yeah, my next thought was, what's next for the Nets? Next year could be worse than this year, right? There's talk about them all landing a super – like, you don't have your own pick. You're one of the bottom teams in the league. It's like you're tanking right now. You don't have a top draft pick. You don't have a pick. So it's like, what is the direction, man? They do have to blow this up, sell everything off, you know. You mentioned Mikal Bridges, and it's just crazy to me that – because you got Mikal Bridges back in the Kevin Durant trade, and when he first came here, he was having a lot of 30-point games. He was lighting it up from the mid-range, kind of looked like KD. But whose bright idea was it to say, this is the guy. This is who we're going to build around. This is a guy that I think is miserable here now. This is a guy that I think is over it here now. It is what it is. He says the right things, but his Villanova teammates get to play in the Garden. His Villanova teammates look like they're having a blast. They had him on the podcast, and it seemed like it was them versus him. Like, oh, yeah, you know, at least he's around, but he's got to play for the Brooklyn Nets in an arena that gets overtaken by Knicks fans, Celtics fans, Heat fans, Steph Curry fans. And, yeah, you had an opportunity at this trade deadline to trade that man. You had an opportunity to get back some of your picks from Houston, where when we retrace our footsteps, a lot of this mess started when you brought in Fat Harden. A lot of this mess started when you decided that, hey, we want to make a big three. A big two is not enough. Having KD, Kyrie, not enough. And we were all on board because we were like, who the hell is going to stop KD, Kyrie, and James Harden? But you started to sell your soul. You started to sell pieces of your core. You mortgaged your future once again. And we thought you learned from the whole Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce era. And many of us, myself included, said, nah, this is different this time around. Nah, this isn't like this. Yo, they might be worse off this time than they were. And we just were talking about Kenny Atkinson. A lot of props goes to Kenny Atkinson for what he was able to do in the interim. Who's the head coach next year? It ain't Kevin Ollie. We already know that. What's next for the Nets? Who's the head coach next year? Who wants to be here next year? Nick Claxton, why would he stay here? If the Memphis Grizzlies want him and he can go play with John Morant and be closer to home, why wouldn't he dip, right? You know, I don't know. I look at this franchise and I think that there is, man, there was this YouTube video, like the history of the New Jersey Nets, Brooklyn Nets, and they got to update it. And it's just like the ineptitude follows this team, this franchise, and there's a reason why they've had all-time lows and bottoms of bottoms, 12 and 70 seasons. I was going back and forth with somebody about the 12 and 70 season. I was younger. I don't think I was as tapped in because I wasn't working in the media, but I watched. And when you're not working in the media and you're not as tapped in, it's easy to just turn those games off. But even as a fan, I remember the morale. And I feel like the morale, it was a different time. We didn't have Twitter and Instagram and all this other stuff. But I feel like the morale around being a Nets fan now is lower than that period or any other time period.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And the thing I'll say in regards to the head coach, if the Nets miraculously get to the play-in, I think Kevin Ollie has a chance to keep his job. Anything else, he's done, right? Because the reason you make the change mid-season is to try to get that play-in push. So if that was going to be your goal the whole time is to fire the coach just indefinitely, then you wait until the end of the season, you let Jacques Vaughn go. But they made this move to try to get a spark and it hasn't worked. So if Kevin Ollie doesn't make the play-in, he's out. The thing I wanted to ask you guys, Keith and Alex, in terms of Mikal Bridges, like how much blame do you put on him for his woes this year versus the expectations that were unfairly set by Sean Marks, by this organization in saying, hey, Mikal is the franchise player?
Alex, you can go first.
I never viewed Mikal as the franchise player, but from the performances that he had last season, I mean, how many games did he play? 20 plus, 25 for us, I would say. And he was averaging that much. He was averaging 25, 27. So, I mean, you would expect to have a player where he was willing to be that number one option, whereas he just had, like, I saw a comment that said the players have to get in, or no, sorry, the tempo's too fast for Mikal, where, and I just absolutely disagree, because this is a guy who gives his always on the court. But at the same time, giving it his all doesn't mean that he's our best player, you know? Like, when we had Yuta Watanabe last year, everyone was saying, oh, why is he out of the rotation? Why? Because at the end of the season, he wasn't in the rotation anymore. He was such a good guy, you know? He gave his energy. Giving energy and being a good player does not correlate. Yuta Watanabe? Yeah, no, the reason why I'm saying that is because Mikal Bridges is not a number one option of a good team. The reason why we're a bad team is because he's the number one option. That's the problem. And I'm okay with Cam Thomas being it because he's young and then you can sort of go into a rebuild. I've been saying that forever. But when Mikal Bridges is a – he's a high-end role player. He's a maybe a number two option on a championship team, but definitely a number three.